Shavuot Tov. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you all for joining. Today's daf is Daf Tzadi Tes, page 99 in Masechta Shabbos. And as we learned back on page 98, Daf Tzadi Ches, we're going to be discussing the structure of the Mishkan, what it looked like, what the beams were like, what the tapestries were like. And then we're going to get back to the issue of carrying, the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos. We know applies not to carry out from a private domain to the public domain, not to carry from the public domain to the private domain. And we're going to learn really details of what makes something a private domain, as well as the fact that the essence of carrying is the uprooting, what we call akira, the transfer, and then the hanacha, the putting down. And we'll ultimately get to some interesting questions about Hanacha and Akira. So let's start on Tzadi Ches Amud Beis on the bottom. We learned yesterday about the beams of the Mishkan, the Krashim. We mentioned also that there was a Briach. There were bolts to hold the beams next to each other, to connect them. There was even a Briach HaTichon, an inner bolt in the center, which miraculously bent as it went through to brace and hold together the three walls of the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, we're looking at a Braisa, talking about the beams, Charutzim Hayu Krashim. The beams were, there were pegs on the bottom of the beams. So the beam was the special wood, Atzei Shitim, the acacia wood. And so they would take the tree, they would cut off the bark, they would get a rectangle of a beam that was 10 amos tall. It was an amma and a half wide, an amma thick. And on the bottom, they would whittle out two pegs to put those pegs into the silver socket. So charutzim hayu krashim, the krashim, the beams had etchings to get to two pegs. The chalulim hayu ha'adanim, and the sockets were hollow to fill those pegs. All right, now going back to the different tapestries on top of the Mishkan, there were different sets of covers. The first tapestry was called the Urios HaMishkan. On top of that, there was another set of tapestries called the Urios Izim, the tapestries of the goat hair. Let's say for the Urios HaMishkan, there were a total of 10 tapestries. Each tapestry was 4 wide and 28 long. And 5 of them were connected to each other, then the other 5 were connected to each other, and those 2 sets of 5 were linked through hooks. So now the Gemara says, when you're in krasim b'lulaos, the hooks in the little loops to connect the sets of tapestries appeared, kakochavim b'rakia, like stars in the heaven. All right, talking again about the tapestries. Tanur Rabbanan l'mdin b'raisa. Yirios HaTachtonos, the lower level of tapestries, what we've been calling the Yirios HaMishkan, the tapestries that were woven with the different designs of the Mishkan. Shel Techeles, they had different colored threads of blue wool, Veshel Argaman, and purple wool, Veshel Tolo Ashani, and of red wool, Veshel Sheish, as well as threads of linen of flax. So there was shatnez in the tapestries of the Mishkan, just like we find that there was shatnez in the belt of the Kohen Gadol. The Elyonos, on top of the Urios HaMishkan, on top of the tapestries of the Mishkan, there were Shelmasa Izim. There were the tapestries made out of the goat hair. Ugdola Chachma Shenemer Be'Elyonos, Yosemima Shenemer B'Tachtonos. The wisdom and skill and craftsmanship that the Torah describes as being needed to make the goat hair tapestries was much more impressive than the wisdom, skill, and craftsmanship needed to make the Mishkan tapestries. Dilub HaTachtonos, in regards to the Mishkan tapestries, Ksiv, the verse just says, V'chal isha chachma slave, any woman wise of heart, biyadeha tavu, with her hands she spun it. And she spun it with her hands, and she was chachma slave, wise of heart. Ilu be'elyonos, but in regards to the tapestries of the goat hair, Ksiv, it says, v'chol anashim asher nasa liban osana bechachma, and all the women whose heart carried them with wisdom. So it wasn't just chachma slave, wise of heart, but their hearts were carried with wisdom. They were extraordinarily gifted. And what did they do? Tavu esa'izim. They spun the goats themselves. Tani mishum Rabbi Nechemiah. We learned in a brisa the name of Rabbi Nechemiah. What they did was remarkable. Shatuf ba'izim. They washed the hair while it was still on the goat. Vitavu minha'izim. And they spun the hairs into threads while the threads were still attached, while the fibers were still attached to the skin of the goat. Now, the reason why they would do that, perhaps some commentators suggest, is that we know that whatever is attached to a living animal does not have the ability to become impure. And perhaps these were women who were nidos, so if they would have spit or some of their saliva would have fallen on the tapestry, it would have made the tapestry impure. So therefore they used extraordinary skill that they literally spun the threads while the fibers were still attached to the skin of the goat. So it would make it impossible for them to make these tapestries impure. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us there is a difference between passing an item from one private domain to another private domain when there's a public domain in the middle of the two private domains, and throwing an item from one private domain to another private domain with a public domain in the middle. If the two private domains, let's say two porches, are on the same side of the street, to pass from one porch to the other, passing through the public domain, would be a biblical sin, because in the Mishkan, they had to pass beams, crush him, from one wagon to the next, even though both wagons were in the public domain. But they never threw the beams, so therefore there would be no biblical sin in throwing an item from one porch to the next, even though there's a public domain between the two porches. That's what the Mishnah said. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Rav said in the name of Rabbi Chiya what we had learned about the other day, Agalos, the special wagons that the Nesiim donated to the Levium to help the Levium transport the parts of the Mishkan, Tachtehen, underneath the wagons, Ubeinehen, and the area of the wheels of the wagons. As we learned the other day, these wagons were not like our wagons. Our wagons are boxes that are mounted on four wheels. Those wagons was actually a frame of a box. There was no floor. There were just four boards, and they were mounted on top of four wheels. The wheels actually extended past these boards. There were, the boards themselves, as we'll see, only were a box of 2.5 amos. And then on each side, you had a pipe and wheel, and the pipe and wheel together would equal another amma and a quarter. So together with the two wheels, it was another 2.5 amos, a total of 5 amos. The whole structure of the wagon was 5 amos. So, says Rav, the underneath the wagon, ubeinehen, and the part of the wheel, vitzidehen, and between wagons, Rishus HaRabim had the status of a public domain. Even though they had put beams on these wagons, nevertheless, what's underneath the wagon, the wheel area of the wagon, and between the wagons was a public domain. So Amar Abaye now explained, Bein Agala La'Agala Kimlo Orech Agala. They had, the wagons themselves were 5 amos. You had one wagon on the right, another wagon next to it on the left. And in between, you had the space of the length of a wagon, yet another 5 amos. Kama orech agala, what's the length of each wagon? Hey amos, 5 amos. Now, they would put piles of beams on the wagons. Remember, they had 48 beams, and they only had 8 wagons. So they had to have at least 6 beams on each wagon. Now, not only were the beams transported in wagons, the tapestries were also transported in wagons. So they really didn't have so much space for the beams. So ask the Gemara, we had learned earlier that there is an opinion that they stacked the beams along their width. The width of the beams was 1.5 amos. So if you have a pile of beams, each beam is 1.5 amos. So out of 5 amos, you could have 3 piles. You have 4.5 amos filled with beams. So the Gemara says, why do you need to have a 5 amma long wagon? Have a 4.5 amma long wagon. Lamali, why do I need to have 5 amos? Bedaudu pal gosagya, could have a wagon that's 4.5 amos. And so the Gemara They didn't want to have wagons that are 4.5 amos, because if you put all the beams right next to each other, they're going to fall off. You want to have a little bit of space. This was so that the beams would not compress each other. They wouldn't be pressuring each other, all being right next to each other. Okay. Amar Rava. Rava now explained what I had mentioned about the wagons. That the wagons themselves were a frame of four little walls. That area was 5.5 by 2.5. I'm sorry, that was 5 by 2.5. And then the wheels, they also took up another, each wheel took off another amma, took up an amma and a quarter. So in total, it was five ammas. So Saz asks the Gemara, Amar Rava said, see the agala, the sides of the agala, namely the wheels, the wheel area, kimelo rochav agala, that was equal, the two sides were together equal to the width of the wagon. Kama rochav agala, what was the width of the wagon itself? What's the width of the box? Shte amos umechta, 2.5 amos. Ask the Gemara again another question. Why do I need to have 2.5 amos? They used to put the beams, the beam length lay across the width of the wagon. So why does the wagon have to be a frame of 2.5 amos? Let the wagon be a frame of 1.5 amma. Lamali, what do I need to have 2.5 amos? Ba'amsu palgosage, I could even have a frame of 1.5 amma and just have more space for the wheels. Answer the Gemara, no. If you have a very thin box, so then the beams are going to totter. They're not going to be secure. They're not going to be mounted in a safe way. And this was kihechid lo lidru krushim. This was so that the beams not fall off. Ella, so now Gemara says, so again, we figured it out. The wagon was 5 amos in total. Next to it was another 5 amos of wagon. And in between the two wagons was 5 amos of empty space. Ella dekaimel, but we know that we rule Derek Rishus HaRabim, what is a public domain? Sheish Esrei Amma, 16 Amma. So I don't understand. Anan Degamin Elamim Mishkan, we're learning all the details of Shabbos from the Mishkan. The Mishkan Chamesri Avoy, the Mishkan was only 15 Amma. It wasn't 16 Amma. Why is the wagon, we're learning from the wagon area was 15 Ammas. Answer the Gemara, really there was a 16th Amma. Amsa Yisera Havoy, there was a 16th Amma. To have a Kai ben Levi where the Levi would stand, to be Mishtalfi Krashim, that when the beams would shake, have a Nakat Lahu, he would hold them in place. So remember, the beam itself was 10 amos long. So if I put a beam that's 10 amos long on a box that's 2.5 amos long, and then there's another 2.5 amos for the wheels, that's still only 5 amos. I still need to have 2.5 amos past the wheel on the right, and then 2.5 amos past the wheel on the left. The same is true with the other wagon. Also, I'm going to have 2.5 amos past the wheel. So you need to have a total of 5 amos for the wagon, plus another 2.5 amos off on the side, and then another 5 amos for a wagon and 2.5 amos on each side. And that's what you have to have in the middle, 5 amos of empty space. But if you only have 5 amos of empty space, so then there's no space for a person. So you have all the beams literally touching each other. And as the wagon's traveling, the beams might fall. So you need to have a person standing between the two wagons so that if the beams start to get shaky, he can adjust them. So that person filled another amma. That's how we get to the fact that a public domain is 16 ammas. Yeah, question, Gabriel. Right. Right, that's a very good question. I don't know. I think the reason, perhaps, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, we know that there was something called Sidei Rishus HaRabim, the sidewalks of the street, so that you had the public street, and then you'd have on the sides of the street bushes, a sidewalk. It wasn't really used as much as the street itself, but it was, you know, you could store things from the street there on the sides. And so maybe the area on the outside of the wagons, that extra five amos that you're referencing, maybe that had the status of tzidei rishus harabim. So yes, it was used by the wagons and what's being transported in the wagons, but it still doesn't get considered the public domain itself. But it's a nice question. I have to look to see if others address that. Thank you. Okay, so now let's move on to the next Mishnah. Now we go back to the topic of, yeah, question, Jonathan, please. Correct. So I think it's because it's not permanent. You know, whatever is impermanent is not considered a malacha. So to put something on a hook is not considered a permanent act. Yeah, there they had hooks, yeah. But I think it was an impermanent feature. It's an interesting question. Oh. Oh, very nice. Beautiful, beautiful, very nice. Nice answer. Great. Let's now continue with the next Mishnah, talking about public domains and private domains. The Mishnah says, Chulyas Habor, if you dig a well in a public domain, so the well itself could become a private domain. If it's 10 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, namely 30 inches deep and 12 inches by 12 inches, it's going to be a private domain. So the Mishnah here says, the pit and its and the chulia is the sand of the pit taken out and put around the pit. Or hasela, if you have a rock, shehen gvoin asara, which is 10 tfachim tall, or chavan arba, and they're 4 tfachim wide, 4 by 4 that is, so then they are private domains. Hanotel mehen, if somebody takes an item off of them, or hanosein al gaban, or if somebody puts an item on top of them, chayiv, the person is carrying from the public domain to the private domain. Pachos mikan, but if the dimensions are any bit less, if they're not 10 tfachim tall, they're only 9 tfachim tall, they're not 4 by 4 tfachim, they're 3 by 3 tfachim, so then it's not a private domain, and someone who carries from the public domain to that is pater, is exempt. Asks the Gemara, Lamali lemis nichulya sabor vehasela. Why did the Mishnah have to say the sand around the pit or a boulder are private domains? Listen, Habor Vasela, tell me that a boulder is a private domain and that a pit is a private domain, even though the pit goes down into the ground. That's also a private domain. That would be fine. Answer the Gemara, Mesayelel Rabbi Yochanan, this is a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explained, Bor v'chul yasa mitztarfin la'asara, that when you dig a hole in the ground, let's say you only dug down 5 tvachim, but the sand that you took out of that hole, you piled up around that hole, so we combine the 5 tvachim of sand around the hole with the 5 tvachim going down into the hole, and it together can equal to 10, together it can be considered a wall for a private domain. So that's the amazing idea. You can combine what's above with what's below to be a wall for a private domain. Tanya Nami Hachi, we also learned in a braisa this way, Bor Birshus Harabim, if you have a pit in the public domain, Amuka Asara, if it's 10 tvachim deep, Urachava Arba, and it's 4 tvachim wide, Eim Malin Heimena B'Shabbos, let's say you have in the public domain, somebody dug a well, and this well was deep enough, it was 10 tvachim deep, plus it's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, so the well is a private domain, so you can't pull water out from it to the street, because that's pulling water from a private domain to a public domain. Okay, starting now, Tzadi Tesamid Beis, says the Gemara, Ela Im Kain, if you want to take water out of the well to the street, you'd have to make on the side of the well a fence, so that where you're standing within the fence, And that fence makes you and the well all part of a single domain. Unless you make it a fence, which is 10 tfachim tall. Next, let's say you didn't make a fence. Ain shosin emena b'shabbos. There's a rabbinic decree. Even if you're going to lean over and want to drink from the well, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos because you might take some of the water out from above the well onto the street, and then you'll be carrying from the private domain to the public domain. Elim kain, unless hichnisla, you enter into the well, rosho virubo, your head and most of your body. If your head and most of your body are in the well, then we're not worried that you're going to take some of the water out from the well to the street. And now the key line of why we quoted this braisa, ubor vichul yasa, both the well and the sand around the well, mitzdarfin, can combine, la'asara, to equal the 10, to render the area a private domain. Okay, so fine. So we learned in our Mishnah, a well in a public domain is a private domain. A boulder in a public domain will be a private domain. Rav Mordechai may Rabba. Rav Mordechai asked a question of Rabba. Amud Bershus Arabin. Let's say instead of a boulder, you have a pillar. A pillar in the public domain, and this pillar was Gavo Ayud, is 10 tfachim tall, Virachav Arba, and 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim wide. So now, since you have the pillar being 10 tfachim tall, the sides of the pillar are the walls, and so this is an area delineated with 10 tfachim tall walls. Since the area is 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, the top of the pillar is a private domain. Now, we know that the public domain, as Gabriel mentioned to us, the public domain just extends from the street up to 10 tfachim. So now we have the following question. What happens if Zarak, a person, takes an item off of the street and he throws it up into the sky, v'nachal gabav, and then it goes up and it lands on the top of the pillar? Mahu, what's the halacha? Mi arminan, do we say, hari akira b'isser, the uprooting was prohibited because he uprooted from the public domain. Hare hanacha be'isser, the landing, the setting down, was in a prohibited domain because it was set down in a private domain. And therefore, there's the prohibition of violating Shabbos, and the man has to bring a sin offering if he did it all by mistake. Odumor, maybe we should say the following. If you have a pillar, so to get to the top of the pillar, the item had to fly above 10. So it went from the public domain to the area above the public domain, to the area of above 10, and then it fell down into the private domain. So let's not consider this as moving something from the public domain to the private domain. Let's consider it taking something from Makom Ptur, the area of exemption, the area of above 10, and putting that down into the private domain. Odilmore, maybe, even to be Makom Ptur Ka'asya, since it's coming from the domain of exemption, from the area above 10, lo, maybe there's no obligation. Amar Leis, he said to him, Masnisini, it's the Mishnah. In other words, it's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you have a boulder in a public domain, the boulder is a private domain. If you take from the boulder, it's carrying. If you put from the street onto the boulder, it's carrying. So the Mishnah already said it. So this is the same thing. A beam is the same thing as a boulder. Asa Shailan Rav Yosef. Rav Mordechai then went and he asked the next Rosh Yeshiva. He asked Rav Yosef the same question. If I throw an item from the street and it lands on top of a pillar that's four by four and it's 10 tall, is that considered a violation of Hachnasa, of taking something from the public domain into the private? Amar Leis, he said to him, of course it is. Masnisini, that's our Mishnah. Asa Shailan Abaye. Then he went and he asked Abaye the same question. Amalei Abaye also told him, Masnisini, that's our Mishnah, that if you take something from the street onto the boulder that's in the street, you've moved it from the public domain to the private. Va'atlot, Amalehusi said to them, Kulchu baruka da'adadi tfitu. All of you guys are spitting in the same, with the same spit. In other words, you're all saying the same thing, and you're all wrong. You're all saying the same words, and you're all wrong. Amrulei, they said to him, Va'atlot tizbra. But you don't agree with us? It is the Mishnah. Hatnan, the Mishnah said, if you have a boulder that's 10 tall and 4 by 4 wide, it's considered a private domain, even though it's located in the public domain. And the Mishnah says, Hanotel Mehen, if somebody takes from the boulder, or no saint al gaban, if somebody puts on top of the boulder, chayev. He's obligated. So what was your question? He said, listen, there's a difference. There's a difference between taking something from the private domain or putting something on the private domain versus throwing. Amalei, he said, I'll tell you why I don't think the Mishnah is such a great proof. The Mishnah might be dealing with a needle. So if I take a needle and I put the needle on a boulder, so literally I didn't take it above 10. It went from the floor up to the top of the boulder. It never left the public domain. They said back to him, that's not true. Machat nami, even if you're dealing with a tiny item, a needle, it's going to be a little bit more than 10. Right? The needle itself takes up space. Your needle is going to be above 10. So if you have a question that were the item to rise above 10, maybe that's no longer considered carrying from the public domain to the private. You see from our Mishnah that that's not the case. He said, no, still I'm not convinced. The Mishnah could be the Islay Morsha. The Mishnah could be dealing with a case of a boulder that has a ledge. So literally he took the needle and he just got it to the top of the boulder, but he never got it above the height of the boulder. In Amidirami Bacharitza, it could be that the boulder at its very top has a little crack, and he slid the needle into that crack. And so again, the needle never went above 10. So he wasn't so convinced, but you know, everybody else thought against him that that is considered carrying. All right, another question. Amar Rav Misha. Rav Misha said, Boi Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan had a question. Kotel Birshus HaRabim. Let's say you have a wall in a public domain. Gavoa Asara. The wall is 10 tefachim tall. Ve'eino Rachav Arba. The wall, though, is not itself 4 tefachim wide. However, Umukav LaKarmelis. This is a wall surrounding an area that was a Karmelis. And because of the wall, Aso Rishus HaYachid. The wall made the Karmelis into a private domain. Now the question is like this. Zarak, somebody threw an item from the public domain, v'nachal gabav, and it landed on this wall. Mahu, what is the law? Mi amina, do we say, kimanein arach of arba, since the wall itself is not four tvachim wide, makom pturu, it's a place of exemption. Odilmar, maybe. Kevan da'aso, rishus ha'yachid, since the wall is setting off another area and making the karmelis into a private domain, so now, kiman demal yadamya, private domain is considered all filled in. And since it's considered filled in, when something lands on the wall, it's as if it landed on the floor, and therefore it's considered at rest, and therefore a person is obligated for moving something from the public domain into the private domain. Amar Ula Ula said, it is in fact considered a private domain, and it's considered a private domain big enough. Kal v'chomer, and it's based on logic. La'cherim osa mechitzav, something can make a wall for others. La'atzma lo kol shekein. Certainly it can make a wall for itself. Itmar Namri also learned, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Rav Chiya bar Ashi is the name of Rav. V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yitzchak is the name of Rav Yochanan. Kotel b'rishus harabim, if you have a wall in a public domain, gavoa asara, and it's 10 tefachim tall, but eino rachav arba, but it's not 4 tefachim wide, umukav l'karmelis, but it is right next to a karmelis, v'aso rishus hayachid, and this wall is making the karmelis into a private domain, hazorik v'nachal gabav, if somebody throws from the public domain and it lands on the wall, chayav, he is in fact obligated in bringing a sin offering. He did do carrying from the public to the private, and the reason is, la'cherim osa mechitza, since this wall is sufficient to create the status of wall for others, la'atzma lo kol shekein, certainly it has the status of a private domain for itself. All right, that's the answer to that question. Now a new question. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had a question. Bor Tisha. Let's say you have in the public domain a well. The well itself is only, it's a pit. A pit in the public domain. It's only 9 tefachim deep. V'akar mimenu chulya. And a person uprooted from the well a clod of dirt. V'yishlima la'asaron. By uprooting that from the uprooting that dirt, now the well is 10 tefachim deep. So now, what's the law? Do we say the uprooting of the dirt did two things? It's an uprooting, and it's also making that domain into a private domain, because now it's deep enough to be a private domain. So the two things can happen at once, and we say he uprooted from a private domain, and he's chayev. Oh, or maybe not. Lo mechayev. He uprooted, but he didn't uproot from a private domain. When he uprooted, it was still only 9 tefachim. It was still only a karmelis. It wasn't yet a private domain. after you uproot it, now it's a private domain. But now already the thing is uprooted. You have to uproot from the private domain. Now, im timtzalom, if you're going to tell me, kem dulavi mechitza sarmei karalo machayev, if you're going to tell me, this is not considered uprooting from a private domain, because when he did the uprooting, it wasn't yet a private domain. It was only 9 tefachim deep. So if that's the case, what about if you go the other way? Bor yud. Let's say you have a pit which is 10 tefachim deep. So it is a private domain. It has walls that are 10 tefachim. V'nasan letocha chulya. And he takes dirt from the street and he throws the dirt from the street into this pit. So now, umiyata, when the dirt falls into the pit, now the pit is no longer 10 tefachim deep. Now it's only 8 tefachim deep. So the dirt that he put in is removing the status of private domain. So Ma, what would the law here be? Hanachas chefetz v'silut mechitza ba'adi adadi ka'asu u'machayev. Do we say, listen, as the item is coming to rest, there still were walls. Together with it coming to rest, it's taking away walls. So it's too late, it's still chayev. Olo machayev, or maybe he's not chayev. Maybe we say no. The item came in, and it's not a private domain anymore. So he's not obligated. And so the Gemara, Tif Shalemi Didei, why did Rabbi Yochanan have these questions? Rabbi Yochanan could have resolved it from his own lesson. His own lesson. It's not because we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf, a mission that we've seen quoted several times already. Hazorik arba amos. If somebody takes an item and he throws it 4 amos in a public domain, bikosel, and the item goes onto a wall, and it lands on a wall, amalam yasara tfachim, above 10 tfachim, then he's exempt, kazorik ba'avir, because above 10 tfachim, it's not the public domain anymore. He's exempt. It's as if he threw something and it landed on a reed that's, 11 tfachim into the sky. However, lamata me'asara, if it landed within 10 tfachim, kazorik ba'aretz, that's like throwing from one spot on earth to another spot on earth, and he's obligated. Hazorik ba'aretz, if somebody picks up an item in the public domain and he throws it, arba amos, he throws it ground level, 4 amos, 6 feet in the public domain, certainly he's chayav, he's certainly obligated. All right, that's the Mishnah. Vavinaban, and we asked, I understand, valonach, if I throw something and it hits a wall, it's not at rest, it's going to bounce off the wall. Rabbi Yochanan explained, is Rabbi Yochanan the same Rabbi Yochanan? He says, you know what that Mishnah is talking about? Bidvei l'shmeina shaninu, we're talking about a sticky fig. He threw a sticky fig, so a sticky fig is going to stick onto the wall. So now one second. It only said he threw 4 amos. So when the fig hits the wall, so now it's going to be, it turns out it traveled less than 4 amos because the fig fills some of the space. So ask the Gemara. Va'amai, why is he achayiv? Why is he obligated if it landed lower than 10 tefachim? Hakamayit marba amos. The fig itself should detract from it being 4 amos. Answer the Gemara, no, that's not comparable to our issue of putting dirt into a pit. Hasam, when you throw a fig on a wall, lomavatale, you don't want the fig to stay on the wall. You're not intending that the fig should become part of the wall. It hit the wall, but you're going to remove it at some point. So therefore, since you're not annulling it to the wall, it doesn't detract from the amount of space that it traveled through. Hachba, when you throw dirt into a pit, mevatale, you're intending to leave the dirt there. So since you're intending to leave the dirt there, it will annul the wall. And now we actually have a question. What happens when the hanacha is also destroying the walls? Is it considered a hanacha in a private domain? Or do we say no? It's a hanacha in a domain that's no longer private, and there was no malacha here. Boy, Rav, now Rav asked another question, similar. Zarak daf, let's say a person throws a platter, a board. He throws a board. V'nachal gabi yisedos. He threw the board from the public domain and it landed on 4 pegs. So now it makes the pegs into a private domain. It makes the pegs into a table. And the edges of the table are considered to be the walls going down to the floor. And these pegs are more than 10 tefachim off of the ground. So now you have a private domain. Mahu, what's the halacha? My ass, I don't understand. Ma'i kami ba'ilei, what's the question? Hanachas chevetz v'asiyas mechitza, that when the item is placed down, that's what's making it into walls. V'adi adadi ka'asi, that it's coming at once. Is that considered a malacha or not? Hanad Rabbi Yochanan, we had Rabbi Yochanan asking that question. Why do I need to ask it again? Answer the Gemara, ki kami ba'ilei l'Rava. You know what Rava's question was? Oh, question. Is that also bona? Again, I don't think it's going to be bona because he's not intending to leave it there for a long time. So bona would have to be intending to build something for at least 24 hours. So the Gemara says, Kikam Yiboy Lele Rava, what's the question of Rava? Kagon de Zarak Daf, where he threw the plank. V'chefetz al gabav, and there is a cup on it. Let's say there's a cup with jello on the plank, and he throws the plank and cup, and they land on the pegs. And that's the question. My, what's the law? Do we say, since it's all coming at once, it's the same question we had before, putting down the item in a way that the item is also creating the walls. Or maybe you will say differently. When you throw a plank with something on it, things are going to bounce. So since it's going to bounce a little bit, then it's going to come back down. Maybe it's considered that he first made the private domain. And then, after he made the private domain, it had bounced up and came back down, then the object is coming down. So maybe here, everybody agrees he's obligated for the object. So teiku, we don't know the answer to this question. Amar Rava, Rava said, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, mayim al gabi mayim haynu anachasam. Water on top of water is considered at rest. So if I have, you know, a pool of water, there's a pit, it's 10 tefachim deep, it's 4x4, I have water in it, I put some more water into it, now I take some of the water out, the water that I take out is considered taking something away from its position of rest. It's called akira. What about egos al gabi mayim? If I have a walnut floating in the water, so lav haynu anochasam, that's not considered an item at rest. And if I take a walnut that's flowing from the water out of the pit, that's not considered carrying. There was never an akira. There was never an uprooting because the item was never at rest. But boy, Rava, Rava had a question. Egos bekli. What is the law if you have a walnut in a utensil, uklit safal gabi mayim, and the utensil is floating on the water? Mahu, what's the halacha? Mi amina, do we say baser egos is lina, and we're going to follow the walnut? Vanayach, the walnut is at rest within the utensil. Odilmar, maybe baser kli as lina. We should look at the utensil. Vahalotnayach, the utensil's not at rest, it's floating. So teiku, that is something we don't have an answer to. Okay, adkan, daf, tzadi, tes.